First Chronicles in the chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10 again, we draw our attention to this evening. First Chronicles 4, the verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the Lord, or on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. We come this evening to the fourth part in our little study in the prayer of Jabez. And we come to consider the next number of petitions that he brings before the Lord, even in his prayer. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Father, we just ask for thy presence, for the speaking voice of God to every heart tonight. We confess our need of help. We confess our need, O God, even of that clarity of mind and of speech to be given to us. We pray that thou wilt touch our lips, yea, touch our heart. And, O God, speak in and through us to each and to everyone this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told of a young lawyer in the state of Georgia who on one particular occasion was invited to deliver the welcome address to the governor of Georgia who would be visiting his area. The following Monday evening was the date that was set aside. And so the young lawyer, realizing how great an honor this was for him, he set the rest of the week aside, even in preparation, that he would just have his mind completely fixed and focused upon that which he would say to the governor. And he finished his speech, and then he went over it, and he went over it. He read it out loud. He changed little bits here and little bits there until he was fully content with the speech that he had prepared for that occasion. The following Monday, when it came, a telegram arrived with him in the morning time, informing him that the state governor had unfortunately been called away on urgent business and had to postpone the meeting and the great function by 2 days. And so it was planned, it was rearranged for the Wednesday evening. And the lawyer was asked, "Will you still come and take part in this meeting? Will you bring the welcome address?" And the lawyer immediately contacted the organizing committee to inform them that as much as he would love to be there, he unfortunately had a previous engagement that he could not put off. Unbeknown to the whole committee, the other engagement he was talking about was his weekly prayer meeting. And in the mind and in the heart of the young man, even though he was a young lawyer, even though his desire was to get up through the ranks, even within the law society, and even move on, maybe even to become a judge in the state of Georgia, and how much that would have escalated, how much that would have helped him even move up through the ranks, having that honour of addressing the state governor, yet he realised, no, my prayer meeting, my devotions to the Lord, I need to go and speak with him as opposed to simply speaking to a state governor. You see, the young lawyer understood the importance of prayer. He understood the importance of meeting together, even before God, to pray. Surely as we have considered the life of Jabez, as we've entered into the prayer that's recorded in verse 10, surely as we look at this man Jabez, we can see that Jabez understood the importance of prayer. Jabez was even different from his brethren. He was more honourable than his brethren. Jabez was a man of prayer. He understood that simple statement, that glorious truth that we've rehearsed week by week before you. Prayer does change things. And Jabez was certainly a man who knew the power of prayer and the answers to prayer as well. The man whose name meant sorrow, yet he had so much joy in his life through the avenue and the access and the action of prayer that he undertook. Last week we continued to look at the prayer of Jabez. We began to look at the specific requests that he made. You remember the general request that he made, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And from there he then entered into the specific prayer request, beginning with the desire for progress. enlarge my coast. And we consider that together and the impact that that would have both on the personal level and also on the collective level. Personally, that both Jabez's knowledge of Scripture and indeed his knowledge of God would be enlarged, and even his prayer life would be likewise enlarged on the collective level. We thought of it in relation to the congregation, that desire that we have as a church, that God would enlarge our coasts, that we would see a greater work done, that we would see a furtherance and an extension even within the area in which we serve. Well, this evening we move now on to the next request that he has before the Lord. And we, as I said, we looked at the progress for the Lord. Tonight we come now to the presence of the Lord. Because Jabez says that thine hand might be with me. It's not by chance that everything recorded in this prayer and everything that is prayed by Jabez, it's not by chance it's in the order that it is. He has just prayed for divine blessing upon his life. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. He's just prayed for increase. Enlarge my coasts. Therefore, he must now pray for the Lord to be very near to him. Jabez must now pray that God's presence will be there, that God's hand will be upon him, that he would know the Lord is with him. You see, by praying those first two petitions for blessing and for increase, what he's done effectively is made himself a candidate for satanic attack. He's now in the crosshairs of the devil. He's now, as it were, he's put the head above the parapet. He's now the prime target. He's asked for God's blessing to be upon his life. He's asked for an increase even in his boundaries. He's asked for an improvement in his situation. And so he has set himself now as a target. The devil will be after him. And if you find yourself in the crosshairs of the devil, to be on your own and only looking to self in such situations is so perilous. Now, of course, we know that the Lord never ever leaves his people. God is an omnipresent God, therefore his people, we are ever before him. We are ever in his presence. But how many there are of God's people who, whenever they begin to experience blessing in their lives, whenever they start to experience an enhancement and an increase, how many then take their eyes off God, look at what's around them, and even for some, they even forget that God is actually there. Such is that overwhelming feeling within their lives. They're enjoying such blessing that it so quickly can come in upon themselves. Pride enters in and they think, I'm doing great. And they forget all about God. Jabez, as he prays for the blessing, as he prays for the enlargement, he adds on to it that thine hand might be with me, that he might know God's presence ever with him. No, I couldn't help but think of Elijah. Elijah had a wonderful time in Mount Carmel. He had preached to his biggest congregation in years. He had the best feedback and response to a sermon he had ever preached. Because whenever he finished preaching and whenever the fire came down from the Lord upon the sacrifice, the whole congregation effectively and instantly and positively responded with that declaration, the Lord, he is God. And you can just imagine Elijah, he's standing there and he's thinking to himself, look at the response. I've just preached to this entire congregation. His coasts have been enlarged greatly. The Lord has blessed him indeed. He saw the fire fall from heaven. Of course, after that, he went up that little bit further. He had a wonderful prayer meeting. A prayer meeting in which he knew unusual help and guidance in prayer. He knew what it was to persevere in prayer. He put his head between his legs. He prayed seven times for rain, and the rain came. You could definitely say that Elijah had been blessed indeed, that his coasts had been enlarged in so many ways. And yet, sadly, the very next chapter, what do we read? A letter came from Jezebel. Now, his eyes were not on the Lord, they were on the letter. He was so worried about her coming that he forgot the Lord was already there. He forgot the Lord's presence with him. He forgot the Lord's hand upon him. He forgot that the Lord was greater than Jezebel. And it caused him not to have his coasts enlarged. It caused him to lose ground. You remember Peter walking in the water. You could truly say he was blessed by God. You could say his coasts were enlarged. What he experienced when he stepped out of that boat was like nothing he'd ever experienced before. He was invited by God to step out of the boat. He stepped out and he's walking. His coasts have been enlarged, both in terms of his understanding of the greatness of God, the capabilities of God even through man. And he's walking in the blessing of God upon him as he's drawing ever closer to his Savior. And yet in a moment, the storm, the waves drew him away. He forgot God was there. He began to sink. The fear overwhelmed him. He started to plunge down through the waves. And he had to cry out, "O Lord, save me." He forgot whose presence he was in for that one moment. And he sank. Oh, that thine hand might be with me. You know that phrase, the hand of the Lord? It's a biblical term. It signifies the Lord's presence and, yeah, even the Lord's power upon his people. You think of Joshua 4:24, where it says that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Isaiah 59 verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot see of its power is found in God's hand." You think of the early New Testament church, the book of Acts, and all of the blessing they experienced, both in his presence, his power, and how that church and the book of Acts, how it just flourished. 120 believers at the start and then just up into the thousands. Spread out of Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, spread all throughout the earth. And there's churches in Antioch, Ephesus, Lystra, Philippi, Colossae. They're just churches springing up everywhere. Why? Because Acts 11:21 tells us the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned on to the Lord. What is the hand of the Lord? If you had to describe it, what would you say the actual hand of the Lord is? After all, God is spirit. That's what it tells us, John 4:24. God doesn't have body parts. We humanize at times so we have an understanding within our finite minds. We speak about the heart of God. We speak about the hands of God. But God is spirit. So whenever Jabez is saying here that thine hand might be with me, what's he praying? He's praying for the Holy Spirit. The hand of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. You remember the promise that Christ gave his apostles before he ascended, Acts 1 and 8. "Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." In other words, whenever my hand comes upon you, that's whenever you can preach. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. You go through the book of Acts. How many knew the hand of the Lord upon them? Many of them knew the hand of the Lord with them. Acts 4 and verse 8 tells us that Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the hand of the Lord upon Peter. Acts 7:55, it tells us that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:9, it tells us Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the hand of the Lord upon his servants. The hand of the Lord's upon them. The Holy Ghost is infilling them. The presence of the Lord is with them. And may you think of all that they accomplished. Right throughout the Roman Empire. All that was done in the name of Christ, souls saved, churches formed, the world turned upside down for Christ, because the hand of the Lord was with them. Is it any wonder, therefore, Jabez prayed what he did? Yes, he longed for that personal blessing. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. He longed for that increase around about him. Enlarge my coast. But he longed, oh, that thine hand might be with me. That I might be filled. Surely that's the prayer that's needed today. And every child of God, that we would know the hand of the Lord upon us. That we would know the presence of the Lord in our lives. That we would know the Holy Spirit reigning in our hearts. And yea, even upon our minds. That we are led and guided. That we not only are indwelt, but yea, we're infilled with the Holy Ghost. That the hand of the Lord is upon us. Upon the church. Those actions and activities in the book of Acts that we have spent our time going through and considering together. And the great increase that there was, the souls that were saved, God can do it again. And we need to be praying, Lord, that thine hand might be upon us. Now we would know the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord. The other petition we want to leave with you this evening, the verse 10, the protection of the Lord. Because Jabez goes on to say, not only that thine hand might be with me, but then he says that thou wouldst keep me from evil. Sin and temptation of sin is an adversary which we face on a daily basis. None of us are immune. None of us will ever conquer sin in our lives. It doesn't matter how long we're on the Christian path. Sin will still be there. Temptation will still come. Until we receive our glorified bodies in Christ, we are still within the shells of sin. The natural man within us will always be attracted and drawn to sin. And that temptation arises, whether it be in our minds or our heart. Even before our eyes, the sinful nature in us is drawn towards it. There's a temptation. There's an appeal. There's an allurement. That's what Paul spoke of over in Romans in the chapter 7. In the verse 22. So over in that passage, as Paul has been dealing with the great theology of the book of Romans. And then he comes and he's speaking about sin. And he's speaking about the shell, the body in which he lives. There in Acts or Romans 7 and the verse 22, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, in other words, after his salvation, after the soul that's now saved. But he goes on to say, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. There was sin coming before him even as he went about his journeys and he went about his missionary travels. The cities that he went into, there was sin before him. There was temptation coming upon him. And he hated it. He loved his Lord, but yet the wretched man, the shell in which he lived, the earthly body, there was war going on inside him. There's a war going on within each one of us. Between the old man and the new. Of course, left to ourselves, it's impossible to stand. If we were warring against the devil simply in the strength of ourselves, and we were warring against the forces of the devil, how quickly we would grow weary and tired. We need to be praying, like Jabez, keep me from evil. And by the grace, the Spirit of God, we would be kept and preserved from falling into sin. You know, our wisdom, regardless of how great it is, cannot be easily overcome by temptation. Our life experiences, regardless how many years we accumulate, can easily be set at naught. Our feelings, our desires can be swept away in a moment, and the devil pays a visit. And remember, he won't come as a raging bull. He won't come as a great army pitched against you. Yes, of course, he is the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But remember how he got Eve. He didn't storm into Eve's life. He got her with a simple, friendly conversation. He drew alongside her. And he even had a conversation about the Word of God with her. And he tricked Eve. He didn't storm into her life. He didn't set up a great fight against her. He came in with a very simple conversation. Hath God said? And he got Eve through conversation. You remember David? David got up in the afternoon. He went out onto his balcony for fresh air. No harm in going out on your balcony if you have one for fresh air, is there? No harm stepping outside just to survey what's around you, just to look at what's around you. A normal exercise, a normal practice. And yet he looked out. He saw, yes, no doubt he saw a city. He saw his walls. He saw his people. But then his eye fell upon Bathsheba. He was simply going out for just a normal walk, as it were, to wake himself up after his afternoon snooze. And he just walked out innocent. The devil had the temptation waiting for him. There was Bathsheba bathing. And he was tempted. And he gave in to that temptation. He fell headlong into sin, adultery, murder. Never forget the devil's cunning. Never forget he's subtle. Christ taught us in the pattern prayer, he said, lead us not into temptation. When you pray, say this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of course, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but Christ never had to pray it himself. He never had to pray to his Father, forgive me my trespasses or my sin. For Christ never sinned. Yes, he was tempted. Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in the mind, the heart. Temptation was brought before his eyes, but he never gave in to it. Not once did he even incline towards it. Not once did he even move one muscle to go towards the sin. Not once did it, for even a second, did it enter into his mind, the allurement of it. 40 days in the desert with the devil pressing him, and he never turned. A lifetime of temptation. Because remember, the 40 days were not all of the temptation that Christ endured. The devil came continuously. That's why it says at the end of the 40 days in Luke 4:13 that the devil simply departed for a season. The devil came back again and again and again, and he threw everything he had at the Lord. He put every single different aspect and every single different way and cunningness and subtlety to it. But not once over those years of his life and of his ministry did Christ ever yield to temptation. That's why Jabez prayed to the Lord. That's why we pray to the Lord. We have to do like Jabez did and simply come before the Lord. Lord, we know the devil will come. We know he'll tempt us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the soft parts. He knows the easy entrances. He knows my weaknesses, but Lord, you're my strength. He knows my gaps, my breaks, and my defense, but Lord, you're my high tower. Keep me from evil, Lord. Protect me. Hedge me round about. That wonderful blood. That blood of the Lamb which overcomes the devil. You know, the more that we get into this prayer, the more that you spend time meditating upon each part of this prayer, the more you see why Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. Because Jabez laid it all out before the Lord. His entire life and testimony was that he depended on the Lord for everything. He depended on the Lord for his blessings. He depended upon the Lord for everything positive in his life. And he also depended upon the Lord to keep him from everything negative. He never once tried to stand up to the attack on his own. He sought the Lord to keep him. Brethren and sisters, we look to the Lord for the blessings in our life. But may we also look to the Lord for the protection and for the keeping of our lives. That we never seek to stand on our own. How easy it is if we simply stand and we think we can stand. How easy it is to fall. And so may we in our lives keep our eyes upon the Lord, even in the times of blessing. Even when things seem to be going well for us, even whenever there's prosperity for us spiritually, even whenever there's an enlargement of the coast, keeping our eyes upon the Lord. Keeping our hope in Him, our dependency in Him. That the Lord will keep us. That the Lord will guard us. The Lord will protect us. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening.